Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm your host, Jason Logan. Thanks for joining us after the week off, a quick breather, following the Masters, following the madness of March. We needed that one, but it throws us right into the middle of a busy spring schedule, and we're going to try to touch on a few things here, and it's why I called in the big guns for this particular podcast. We have Todd Furman, sports betting analyst for CBS Sports, a former odds maker, a longtime friend within the industry. He's coming in to talk NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, as well as the NFL draft, which gets underway on Thursday night. And of course, Aaron Waterworth, trading manager for Bet365. He's going to come in here, run the two-minute drill, cap us off, providing some insights from the other side of the counter on those three markets I just mentioned. Of course, before we get started, if you've been listening to the Sharp 600 for a while, or if you're new to the podcast, take a couple seconds, rate and review this bad boy. We appreciate that feedback and an opportunity to expand our reach and talk to more sports bettors like yourself. All right, a busy week in sports betting. Let's start that clock. Given everything coming at us this week, we got basketball, we got hockey, we got NFL draft. There's only one man for the job, and that's CBS Sports HQ analyst and host of the Bet the Board podcast, Todd Furman. Thanks for coming on, buddy. Appreciate it.
Hey, it's always good to catch up, but with that kind of intro, the only thing I'm able to do, Jason, going forward is let some of your loyal listeners down, so I will do my best to try and equip myself accordingly.
Nah, full faith in you here. So postseason's underway, both the NHL and the NBA. You've been on both sides of the counter as an odds maker and a bettor. Tell us first what the approach is for bookmaking postseason versus the regular season. And then as a bettor, what are you looking at in terms of edges game to game?
You know what? The biggest thing for me is that recency bias plays a much bigger role with a lot more eyeballs on the sport, whether it's the NHL, the NBA, and we talk about it at great lengths with the NFL playoffs as well, just to try and see what books have to do. And we've seen that already so far in the NBA playoffs with a lot of these injuries. You've seen numbers move to 2.5 points, try and over account for a superstar's absence. And even in the NHL, I mean, people remember what they saw last. No greater illustration than between the Bruins and Maple Leafs. I mean, game one, that number, once William Nylander's out, the number comes up 6 to 8 cents. Closes, we'll call, right around minus $1.30. And when Nylander gets ruled out for game two, I mean, you're talking about a closing number at minus 155. There isn't that much that changes in a 48 or 60 minute sample size. So I think from an odds maker's perspective, you understand why they have to adjust those numbers. And on the flip side, as a bettor, don't overreact to what you see with just a limited sample size. If anything, it creates a little bit more value and you're able to find some opportunity because of the way the market is forced to respond for just one game.
Very good advice there. So a lot of noise when it comes to the NBA playoffs and trends. You have the zigzag theory. You got the 0-2 at home systems. Teams coming off a loss. There's no end to these sort of things. But what should basketball players or basketball bettors really be paying attention to if they want to have the continued success throughout the NBA playoffs?
You want to see some of the ebbs and flows in a series, and I think the better coaches will make those adjustments. Oftentimes, the deeper we get in, you're going to see teams look to try and slow down pace and tempo. I mean, we know scoring is down a ton from the NBA All-Star game compared to where it was early in the year, and I think that's even more pronounced in the postseason. But somewhere along the way, the market is going to catch up, and if you're constantly going under the total of a number that's been adjusted 12, 13 points like we've seen in previous postseasons, you're not going to do yourself any justice. So maybe wait for a live opportunity. I mean, we saw that in game one between the Magics and Cavs. I mean, neither team could miss early on. You had an opportunity to go under 217 at one point in that game, and the full game comes in under. But you mentioned the zigzag, and I think that to some extent has been factored into the numbers. Yeah. I know years ago, we all used to love to try and bet the team that was down 0-2 for the first quarter, for the first half. Odds makers aren't dumb. They make those adjustments. But the one thing that I have seen where you can take a little bit of advantage is for the home team that loses game one, you're typically going to get a road team that comes in with a much more complacent attitude than anything else. And that provides a better buy low opportunity because typically the public doesn't want to lay that big number with some of those favorites after watching them lose on their home court the first game in a series.
Yeah, absolutely. Good insight there. Limited games each night, and it makes prop betting even that more important, a huge percentage of the overall handle here. NBA player prof specifically, kind of a dark cloud hanging over these. We've got the Porter situation. You hear about the players constantly being harassed. I'm really, really interested to get your thoughts on where you see the industry trending when it comes to player props.
It is definitely a hot button issue. Now, the one thing I will say for the NBA, it's a lot more black and white in terms of what we see in the box score compared to what NHL bettors have had to encounter in terms of what counts as a shot on goal, what doesn't count as a shot on goal. That seems to be the real black box of postseason prop betting. But look, I think books have kind of painted themselves in a corner. I understand the appetite to increase the betting menus and try and allow people other ways to get themselves involved. But when you're talking about role players or guys in the NBA that are 9th, 10th, or 11th on the depth chart, you open yourselves up for this kind of market manipulation. And I'm not going to condone the actions of Jontay Porter, but the reality of it is I'm not sure it's truly an isolated incident. We just hear a little bit more about it. Books doing their job to try and protect their investments. But at the same time, I mean, save those for games that mean a heck of a lot more. We never hear about this in the Super Bowl because there's so much at stake. But you can rest assured there's a reason that you don't have fourth and fifth wide receiver props on any given Sunday throughout the NFL season. And I think books have to be a lot smarter about their offerings as well in terms of protecting some of their most valuable assets, which in this case is the integrity of the outcome, whether they be prop market or top line.
Yeah, 100%. Your first love is hockey. And this is, I without a doubt, the NHL postseason, the Stanley Cup playoffs, the best postseason of any sport. You see the upsets. You see the President's Trophy winner going down almost every single year in the first or second round. When you start sizing up potential Stanley Cup winners come playoff time, what are you looking for in a team?
You know, the game has changed so much, Jason, over the last 10 to 15 years, as hockey fans can attest to. You can't just necessarily ride one star-studded netminder, even in the postseason. Just ask Canuck fans how they feel waking up yesterday to go, wait a second, we're going from Thatcher Demko in Game 1 into Casey DeSmith in Game 2. And while DeSmith wasn't the reason the Canucks came up on the short end of things, it's a far cry from what you've seen from the Washington Capitals, who started the postseason with Philip Grubauer, went to Braden Holtby when they won a cup. I mean, the Knights have trotted out everybody but the Zamboni driver over the last couple of postseasons as well. And I think, you know, depth plays a role there, but it also does on the blue line through the centerman position. And unlike years past where you could be top heavy in the salary cap era, you need a lot of guys to raise their level of play. And while it's nice to have those game breakers on their top lines, at the same time, if you're not getting some of that depth production from your third and fourth lines or allowing them to eat up some of the valuable minutes during these very heavy and physical series it takes to win a cup, I don't think it's a recipe for long-term success. Just ask Maple Leafs fans who've tied up all of their money in seemingly the big three or the big four, and you have a blue line that's a little bit plodding, to say the least, in terms of their ability to go out there and move the puck the way they need to.
Yeah, a lot of worried Leafs fans on this side of the border, I will say that right now. NFL draft, another prickly market, because it seems like every year it's more popular with football fans. It's very, very popular with the sharp bettors out there. Bookies hate this event. Give us a skinny on the best ways to beat the draft odds. And if you think sportsbooks are going to continue to book the NFL draft, because they just seem to, you know, take a bath every year.
I think some books are going to continue because they know it is a great tool for investment and to get folks to load up their accounts well in advance. And as we all know, once that money is in the account, they're going to bet their win totals. They're going to bet game of the years. Mm-hmm. And when we have week one lines unveiled in a few short weeks, money will get allocated for that accordingly. But you're right in that it becomes such a headache and a loss leader. Now, I've never actually booked the draft myself. It wasn't available in Nevada when I was behind the counter, but talking to a lot of the folks that do, they want to keep these things up there for as short a period of time as possible. They have to stay on top of the information that's out there. And it's the one event, whether it's the NBA draft or the NFL draft, where the player can put him or herself on the same level playing field as the bookmaker if they're able to get that information first and foremost. And the most challenging part about it, and we've seen this already taking place with Jaden Daniels as the second overall pick potentially to the Commanders, if you know that that's the direction a team's going to go in, it's not like betting a normal game on a week-in, week-out basis where you worry about closing line value. If something's a certainty, I'll lay $2, I'll lay $3, hell, I'll lay $8 until they pull that number off the board, and it's unlike any event or vehicle that's out there. Conversely, from my mental well-being standpoint, if I lose on the draft, it's harder for me to stomach this than maybe any other sporting event out there throughout the course of the year if you're laying some of those big prices.
And the NFL draft markets have been up for a while, too. They've been moving like mad, basically off of smoke and mirrors sometimes, it seems. What's a draft prop heading into this first round on Thursday that still holds value this late into the process?
You know, teams a little bit more tight-lipped, and I'll give them credit. Maybe that's the NFL making a conscious effort to try and keep everyone quiet with the emphasis on sports betting and the potential integrity around that. Two bets that I think still offer a little bit of upside where the prices haven't been beat up. Look, I'm still a big believer that the Jets are trying to add whatever weapons they can to try and help Aaron Rodgers with what's left in terms of his contract. Mm-hmm. So if you're able to get Brock Bowers to the Jets, as of this morning, I saw prices still at plus 140, plus 150-ish. I know that's down a touch from where it was north of $2, but I still think that offers ample upside. Mm-hmm. And look, call me, you know, a conspiracy theorist or whatever you will. I'm not going to work under the mindset that JJ McCarthy is a formality to go inside of the top five picks. So if you're able to find a price at +1.25 or better, I think that's a number that I'd be willing to take a shot. Look, JJ is going to be a first round draft pick. It's just a question of if the Minnesota Vikings trade up or somebody else moving, but with so many pieces that need to fit together for him to go inside of the top five. I mean, Jason, you followed the NFL draft and the betting markets for so long. It was only a year ago where the over-under on Will Levis was 7.5 going into the draft 24 hours before, and we know Will Levis was waiting until day two. I think JJ comes off the board sooner, but I'm willing to take a shot that he doesn't go inside the top five.
All right, some good ones there. And then we have five NHL games over the next two games. We have five NBA games over the next two games. Give us a quick bet. It could be hockey or NBA that you like over the next two nights.
So my mantra this time of year, as we talked about, is how the betting market seems to overadjust for a player's absence or a player's inclusion in the lineup. And I'll give you one in each sport that I think still offers a little bit of upside and opportunity. Right. We'll go to Nashville, where the Preds are a slim, you know, $1.15 to $1.20 favorite. I watched game two like a lot of other folks did, and I came away going, you know what? This Canucks team was extremely unfortunate and unlucky not to come away with a victory there. So I'll take a price on Vancouver, anything at plus 105 or better. But I really believe if you wait this thing out a little bit longer, you'll have the opportunity to grab plus 110 or thereabouts. I think you're going to get the Canucks' best effort. And the key for them is scoring first so they can go into a little bit more of a defensive shell instead of chasing the game. And in the NBA, very similar. You know, everyone ran to bet the Los Angeles Clippers with the announcement that Kawhi Leonard was going to turn to the lineup. But the Mavericks look complacent, to say the least, in game one. I think you're going to get the exact opposite in game three. So with Eclipse as a 4-point underdog, I think it's a one possession game either way, and I would be more than happy to bet the Clips, who will know their rotation. So give me Los Angeles +4 for game three down there in Dallas.
All right, it all sounds good. That's Todd Furman. You can check him out on the Bet the Board podcast. You can follow him on X at Todd Furman, and then you can also see his smiling face and his insights on your TV, CBS Sports HQ. Thanks again for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, always a pleasure. And the betting calendar rests for no one these days. I long for my days off of nuclear summer where there's nothing going on but Major League Baseball.
We got a busy summer coming up here too, so brace yourself. At Bet365, they don't do ordinary, and that's why you get more boosts with them than anyone else. Every day, they power up the odds on hundreds of bets to give you a chance to win more. They boost specific markets, your winnings, and even parlays. And they don't stop there. You want to keep your eye out for the biggest and best odds with their incredible Super Boost. You want to check out the boost and see why? It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus or 18 plus in Kentucky. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Terms and conditions apply. 2 minutes real time with Aaron Waterworth, trading manager at Bet365. Let's start NFL draft. How much do you hate booking this event? And what do books do to protect themselves against what is a very unpredictable, volatile market?
How you doing, Jason? Thanks for having me as always. Yeah, I mean, always a very unpredictable one. You know, it's not any of these draft markets, especially the NFL one, so many things change, so many flip-flops of favorites, so much, not inside, but whispers around the way that turn out from being like 20-1 shots to real good runners. So a difficult one to book, but challenging and exciting in itself.
All right. And which NFL draft props have you seen the most movement or money on since opening?
I think, you know, one of the, and I'm sure most people have been hearing this out there, but Byron Murphy, first defensive player drafted, originally 20-1, quickly moved down to about $12, has now gone down all the way to plus 160 and still moving. Jaden Daniels to go number two. With him and May, they're both sort of linked. Two and three position have gone from dogs to very, very good odds on. Daniels minus 425. May number three, -3, -250. Now, those are both from like plus 75-ish openers, plus $3 for Daniel originally.
All right, NBA playoffs in full swing. Give us an update on the NBA title odds. Which teams are drawing surprise action to win it all this year?
I mean, it's a difficult one. Obviously, lots of injuries. We all know this. Boston and Denver have been obvious all season. They're still getting back to shorter price favorites. But outside of that, Dallas and Minnesota. Minnesota have been backed all year. A bit of a surprise package overall for everybody. And the Lakers still getting support besides the 0-2 hole. They're still seeing them. A little surprised there to see people still backing the Lakers.
All right, we're going to jump to the ice. Stanley Cup playoffs, they're heating up. What do the Cup futures look like? Who are you guys cheering against in the postseason?
You know, it's kind of the top of the market for most of them. New York Rangers, Edmonton, Toronto, all our worst positions. We'd like to swerve those. Depends whether you're going with your head or your heart for those who you're a fan of. But, yeah, those are the three worst positions we'd have.
All right, and that's the horn. But before we go, let's get a best bet for either the NFL draft, Tuesday, Thursday, NHL, NBA games. What do you like?
I'm not a big bettor of the draft for reasons stated. It's very volatile. However, I do like playing the playoff game. So tonight, I do think Leafs-Boston over the all total, 5.5 minus 135. A little bit of juice to pay there. But I think both of these teams are very close. You got the OT 3-3 runner there going for you as well. So over 5.5 minus 135 in the Leafs-Bruins game.
All right, a little bit of hockey action there. Love to hear
you got it.
All right, that's a wrap on this episode of the Sharp 600 podcast. A big thanks goes out to Todd, to Aaron, a big thanks to Dell, and of course, a big thanks to you for tuning in. A quick reminder, rate and review the podcast whenever you get a sec on whatever platform you use to take us in. We appreciate that. We're going to talk to you next week, and until then, best of luck with your bets. At Bet365, they don't do ordinary, and that's why you get more boosts with them than anyone else. Every day, they power up the odds on hundreds of bets to give you a chance to win more. They boost specific markets, your winnings, and even parlays. And they don't stop there. You want to keep your eye out for the biggest and best odds with their incredible Super Boost. You want to check out the boost and see why? It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus or 18 plus in Kentucky. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. Terms and conditions apply.